Welcome to Ridgecrest Baptist. We thank you for listening. Now, here is this week's message.
One thing about we as fathers on this Father's Day that we can say without any question or any doubt whatsoever is that we have a good example to follow, don't we? When I say that, I'm speaking about our spiritual father. I'm talking about our heavenly father. I'm talking about God, and how that, he treats all of us. The father of us as individuals, the father of our church, the one who leads our church, the one who, we worship and adore. Our heavenly father. And how we ought to desire to be more like Him. And every day to grow, to be the fathers, to be the husband, to be the man that God has called us to be. Have you ever come across certain people that just seem to conflict with you? They just seem to rub you the wrong way? Do you know anybody like that? All right, be honest. All of us have that because sometimes our personalities just clash. There may be a flaw in that other person's personality, but listen, there might be a flaw in your personality. But somehow, because God made all of us different, because each one of us is unique. There's nobody else like you. You are one of a kind. Now, other people are sometimes, you might think, well, boy, that's a good thing. But because we are all different, God, in His love for us, making us that way, also teaches us how to, I guess you might say, rub people the right way. You can learn to get along, and you can learn to appreciate each other's differences. You can learn to grow together and love one another as people of God, as brothers and sisters in Christ. In our text today, we're going to talk about a man named, well, his name is actually Joseph, but he is called Barnabas, or Barnabas, if you want to get really technical about it. But Barnabas, or Barnabas, is a name that was given to this guy named Joseph by the other people around him. The name Barnabas means son of encouragement, one who encourages, one who lifts up, one who understands how to get along with people. I think when we look at Barnabas or Joseph, one thing that stands out in my mind is the Bible doesn't tell us anything about his family life. The Bible doesn't tell us whether he was a dad or not. The Bible doesn't tell us if he had any children. It doesn't tell us about a wife. The Bible doesn't mention anything about his family. But you can see in scriptures about his life. You can see something of that nature about him that every father, every dad ought to possess, that every man ought to possess. We are to be godly in our lives. And in one sense, if you look at the life of Barnabas, as given to us in Scripture, you will find that in a sense, Barnabas was like a dad or like a father to the early church. He looked upon that church, the early church in Jerusalem, later at Antioch. He looked upon these churches, and he saw himself as God had blessed him. He saw himself in that position or in that role of being a father to the church. And he carried out that role, I think, very successfully. And there's some things in the life of Barnabas that I want to share with you today. Now, if you take our text from Acts, the 9th chapter, where Barnabas is first introduced to us, it says there, when he, speaking of Saul or Paul, came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples. But they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. I want you to notice some things, and I'm going to be brief today, and I know that may shock some of you, but I want to show you some things about Barnabas and the fatherly characteristics that he exhibited that I think for myself and I think for every one of us as men of God, as believers in Jesus Christ, that we ought to adopt and to practice in our life. Now, we may not have children. We may not have been blessed with children. But you can still be a man of God. And you can still be one to follow the characteristics that God has laid down for us through this man called Barnabas, through this son of encouragement. Three things I want to share with you here today. First of all, I want you to notice something when you look at Barnabas about bringing blessings, to bring blessing in the lives of other people. When you look at Barnabas, you see him there with a heart that is reaching out to others. You see him with a heart that looks upon those who might be down and out, those who might be the underdog, if you want to use that terminology, those who seem to be struggling in some area of their life. And yet, Barnabas, being a godly man, Barnabas was one who reached out to touch those wherever he saw a need. You'll notice in our text that Saul, or Paul, that he had come to Jerusalem. Now let me just say that a period of time has taken place between when Saul accepted Christ and when we get to our text when he comes to Jerusalem. In fact, about a 3-year period has gone by. Paul has been in Tarsus. He has been praying and meditating and preparing and learning how to minister for the Lord Jesus Christ. He has spent 3 years in seminary, you might want to say. He has spent 3 years at the feet of God, learning what God wanted him to do as a new believer in Christ. And so he finally feels led of God to go to Jerusalem. The Bible tells us, and it's in the present tense, by the way, the Bible tells us that he was repeatedly, continually going into the church at Jerusalem, going before the disciples, the believers in Christ, going before the apostles, the original 12 disciples, or 11 of the 12. He was trying to join in with them in the church at Jerusalem. And they were rejecting him. They did not trust him. They were casting him aside. Some of these same disciples, Paul had been put in prison, had put in jail, because they were believers earlier. Some of these same disciples had watched as Saul, or Paul, as he stood holding the robe while Stephen was stoned. And a lot of these believers, they looked upon Saul, or Paul, we're going to call him Paul from now on, I'm tired of repeating it. And when they looked upon Paul, They looked with disbelief. They looked with doubt. They looked upon him and saying, we don't trust you. But there was one. There was one. The son of encouragement. Joseph. Barnabas, as he was called. Who took it upon himself to look upon Paul's life and to not look upon the past, but to look upon the potential. To not hold against a man who had been forgiven by Jesus Christ of the sins he had forgiven, but to look upon a man who is set free in Christ and whom God is wanting to use. I want to say to you today, here as men of God, be an encourager. Be one who sees the potential of the change that God has made and of the change that God is making and the change that God will make in an individual. It may be, in fact it is, that all of us have sinned in our past. And there may be some in this congregation who have sinned grievously. There may be people in this congregation or people that God is bringing in to our fellowship that maybe has hurt you personally, that maybe has sinned against you personally. Be a man of God. Be a child of God. Learn how to forgive. Learn how to love. Learn how to treat a person as if they had never sinned. And to love them and to see the potential of what God is wanting to do in their life and through their life. Bring blessings to people. Now, especially for us as fathers, in our homes, we are to be a blessing ourselves and we are to bring blessing to our family. God has blessed us with our family. God has blessed us with our mate. And if you're single here today, let me tell you that God has somebody for you. You wait on God. But you may be, as we don't know about Barnabas, you may be one that doesn't have that immediate family around you. You be the blessing to other people as God gives you the opportunity. But as a father, we have an obligation with the family that God has blessed us with. We have an obligation to meet their physical needs. We have an obligation, and as much as we are humanly possible, physically able, we are to provide for our family. And our family is to come before ourselves. In the physical needs of our life. Listen, guys, we're also to provide for the emotional needs of our family. Your children ought to find their greatest encouragement from you as a dad. From you as a mom. Our children need to hear not criticism, not always setting a standard they can never reach up to. But they need to hear encouragement. They need to hear praise for accomplishing what they are accomplishing. Showing them that we're proud of them, that we love them. In fact, somebody has said, and I've tried to practice this with my children, that we ought to give them two compliments for every constructive criticism. We ought to give them two compliments. Find two things to praise them about for every time we have to criticize them. A lot of times, guys, a lot of times, ladies, we get that backwards. And a lot of times our children are exasperated, as the Scripture tells us from our Scripture reading earlier. Because they feel beaten down and they feel like they can never accomplish enough. Let me tell you something. You need to build up your children. encourage them. Because they are looking to you. You are the goal, and you are the ideal of their life. And fathers, you have a responsibility for the emotional well-being of your children. One of the big problems we have in our nation today is a lack of self-esteem in our young people. They've been told all their life they're no good. They've been told all their life they'll never amount to anything. They've been told all of their life about how all the things that they're doing wrong and they're failing in. And they've lost their self-worth. Guys, that's our fault. That's the daddy's fault. Because we're called upon by God to bring blessings and to build them up emotionally and to let them know they're loved and appreciated for who they are. And yes, they're going to fail at times. And yes, we're going to have to correct them at times. My children will tell you, I did not spare the rod. Now, I spoil my grandchildren. But, listen to me. You can discipline them. And you can lead them. And you can correct them in love. And encouragement. And letting them know that they are precious. We have a responsibility to bring blessings emotionally. And that goes for bringing blessings emotionally to our wives as well, guys. But more than anything else, we're to bring blessings spiritually in the home. God has called us to be spiritual leaders. God has called us to set the example. The most spiritual person in the home ought to be the dad. But you know what has happened in our society? And it's been going on for our whole generation and maybe the generation before my generation. Is that the men have abdicated the spiritual leadership in the home. And you look in most churches and you'll find that the wife is usually and the mother is usually the spiritual leader in most cases. Now, I praise God that I look out upon this congregation, and I've been here long enough to know most of you and seen most of you over the years. And I praise God for the spiritual, godly men that God has placed in this fellowship. And I want you younger men, I want you to look around at us old folks, okay? We might be old, and we might be getting decrepit, but there's some things you can learn about becoming godly men who bring blessings to others. Because spiritually, we have to learn to give ourselves away in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's what you see about Barnabas. Bring blessings. Second, break barriers. Break barriers. Barnabas stepped up. The other people were saying, we don't trust him. Even if you look at the 12 apostles, you look at Peter, Simon Peter. Simon was one of those, it's implied, Simon was one of those with the others who said, I just don't trust him. You see, Peter and John had been put in prison by the Sanhedrin court. They had been told, you can't preach in the name of Jesus. And Peter was sort of saying, you know, I just don't know about him. He's going to have to prove himself. It's going to take a long, long time before I trust that fellow. Young John, who'd been in prison with Jesus and had been set free by the miraculous work of God. Young John said, I know we're supposed to love. I'm the beloved disciples. But it's hard to love him. I've seen what he's done. I've seen his hatred. I've seen his anger. I've seen his murderous activity. I've seen in the past his delight in persecuting believers in Christ. I just don't know if I can love him or not. Some of you have said the same thing. I don't know if I can ever love that person again. We use the words, oh, I love them in Jesus, but I'll never have anything to do with them. But Barnabas. Barnabas. He said, no, let's break down the barriers. Barnabas said, I've looked at Paul's life. I'll vouch for Paul. I'll stand and I'll say that on that road to Damascus, that experience he had with Jesus, when his life was radically changed, when his sins were forgiven, when he became a new person, I'll vouch for him. You know why? Because he was saying, I'll vouch for Jesus. I'll vouch for the one who is able to change lives. And listen to me. If you're not willing to forgive someone that Jesus has forgiven, what you're saying there is that you don't believe Jesus can really forgive. Barnabas said, he's a new person. And the Bible tells us that Barnabas personally brought Paul to the apostles and said to them, here he is. I've heard him preach. I've heard him stand boldly and preach Jesus Christ in the face of great danger. I've seen the radical change in his life. And I see a potential in him. I don't know if you thought about it or not, but Barnabas was so well liked that Barnabas could have been and probably would have been the head missionary going out to the other churches in the world. But he looked upon Paul there and said, I'm going to vouch for him. Here's a man who's learned. Here's a man who's educated. Here's a man who knows how to speak and he knows how to preach. Here's a man that God is wanting to use in a magnificent way. And just think about it. If Barnabas had not vouched for Paul, if he had not taken him to Jerusalem and said, I'm standing by this man, 14 books of the New Testament may never have been written. The church's greatest missionary into all the world might never have taken a step in mission work. A man who the Christian or the world of that day was saying he's turning the world upside down might never have said a word for Christ. But Barnabas was breaking down barriers. There's another incident that takes place a little later in the book of Acts. I think it's the 14th chapter. Where Barnabas and Paul had started on a missionary journey. And they had young John Mark with them. John Mark had gone a little ways and he got discouraged. Remember? He left them and went home. Well, Paul at that time was saying, all right, he had his chance. We can't depend on him. Just kind of put him aside. They got ready to go on another missionary journey. John Mark wanted to go with them. And Paul said, uh-uh. And they got into an argument between Barnabas and Paul. This same Paul that Barnabas had stood up for when others rejected him was now rejecting John Mark. Barnabas saw such potential in John Mark that he says, all right, Paul, you take Silas and you go on your missionary journey. I'm going to take John Mark, and I'm going on a missionary journey. Had Barnabas not broken that barrier, we would not have the Gospel of Mark. And let me tell you that the Gospel of Mark was the first of the four Gospels that were written. And scholars believe that Matthew and Luke, at least to a certain extent, used what Mark had written as a basis or as a kind of an outline of their own writings of all the things that God had done in Christ Jesus. Now I want you to look around you today. Is there anybody in this room? Is there anybody outside this room out there that has thrown up a wall between you and them? Are you holding a grudge of some kind against somebody? Is there some wall, some barrier that's keeping you from having having fellowship with somebody else? Be a man of God. Break down that barrier. Break down that wall. Go to that person. Let them know that you love them. Let them know that God wants to use you and God wants to use them. And together we'll go forward and see what God will do. Because we're men of God. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And there's no excuse for holding grudges. There's no excuse for building barriers. We're to break down the barriers so that Christ moves freely in and through us and through our church. Third thing, we're to bring blessings, we're to break barriers, and third, we're to build bridges. Build bridges. In Acts, the 15th chapter, after that strong disagreement, as Barnabas and Mark, as they began to go on their missionary journey, we see such a growth in John Mark's life that later on, Paul is going to look upon John Mark and call him my son. That later on, Paul is going to call John Mark to come to his side because he needs him. Later on, we're going to see the bridge having been built that had been broken. Guys, we are called by God to build and smooth, to straighten out the way for those who follow after us. To build bridges. To set examples. To leave a legacy. Not just to our children. And that's a great responsibility. But to our grandchildren. And that's a great responsibility and a great privilege. But also, and one day I hope to live long enough to see that, to our great-grandchildren. And then down through the generations, as the Bible says, up to 7 generations, you are going to influence your children. And the attitude and the heart that your great, 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 great grandchildren are going to have is going to be set by the bridge that you build, the legacy that you live, that are going to follow, then as they follow in your footsteps. Now I stand before you today. I'm a third generation pastor. I stand before you today and say to you, I look down as much as I can toward the future. And I want to set the right example for those who follow after me. I want to honor the example of those who have gone before me and have set the way and built the road and built the bridges for me to travel. And I want to make the way as straight and as smooth as I can for those who follow after me. That's the call of God upon my life as a father, as a son, as a grandfather. It's also the call of God upon my life as a pastor of this church. We are to build bridges. We are to smooth out the way. We are to do everything within our power, within God's power, within us, to make the road smooth for those who follow after us, because we're pointing them to Jesus. So as a man of God, as a child of God, as a believer in Jesus Christ, bring blessings to those you come in contact with. Break down the barriers. Don't let anything keep you from sharing Christ and shining forth Christ to the world around you. Build bridges. Set the example. Live the testimony as well as share the testimony of what Christ is wanting to do in and through your life. How do you do that? First of all, you got to know Jesus as Lord of your life. You've got to repent of your sins. You've got to turn to Jesus. Ask Him to forgive you and be Lord. Be boss of your life. Come into your heart and take over. You have to experience salvation. The beautiful thing about that is, as the Holy Spirit directs you and convicts your heart and reminds you that you're a sinner, He also stands freely with grace and mercy to forgive you. And He's promised if you come to Him, He will in no wise cast you out. So if you are coming this morning, trusting Jesus as Lord of your life, as we sing in just a moment, you step out and you come and you make your decision for Him. You come and share with me. And I promise you that as a church, we'll be a Barnabas to you. We'll see the potential. And we'll work together to grow and be the church that God wants us to be.
We hope this message will help you in your spiritual walk and growth. For more about Ridgecrest, please visit us on the web at www.rbc-tuscaloosa.com. Have a great day, and God bless.